Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Oh my goodness, Dr. Price, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Well, I'm glad you invited me, Ashley. I was wondering if I was going to get my invitation this week.
You're always invited to your show.
Oh, okay. I want to make sure you know I don't read into things. How are you doing? No, how are you doing today?
You know what? I'm doing great. I think I am trying to tap myself into the reality that this time next week we will be in the forum.
I know. I was thinking that as we were getting ready to go live, I thought, my gosh, we started in January thinking, okay, this is the time to start getting ready, and now we're there, and I'm excited about it. Our response has been impressive, hasn't it been?
Yes, it has. Impressive and shocking in a good way, not shocking in a crazy way. So the level of excitement with people coming, every time we talk to someone who's coming, like, we just cannot wait until next week, can't wait until the forum. Someone told me, you know what, I'm excited about this conference next week, and I don't get excited about conferences. So that's a testimony all by itself.
And you know, one of the things that I love about what we do is that it isn't a conference. You know, those that are coming know that they are not coming to a preach-a-thon. They're not coming to have, you know, one roast, one speaker after another, great or renowned or not. They're coming for them. This is an event, a forum for a reason, because forums are for the people. Forums are where you impart information to the people. They get a chance to handle that information in various settings so that they can take it back to their world and replicate it effectively. So those of you who are listening, don't come with your classic conference mind, because conference is not what it is. This is literally an environment, a setting where you can get that dispensation knowledge, that impartation that's going to not only correct you or perfect you, but it's also going to empower you to go back and empower others. You know, we're fond of saying, you know, that we equip the saints. But, you know, not all equipment is going to get the job done. And I want you to think, as you coming here, and those of you who have not registered, there's still time. We don't have a lot of space left, but we do have a few spaces left. But I want you to think, I'm coming to equip with empowerment. That means information. That means motivation. That means inspiration. That means strength. And I love this. That means boldness, the bravery that we need to say what God needs us to say, to download into people what God needs them to have, and to be honest about it all the way around. One of the things that Paul said all the time, constantly pray. We don't often remember to pray, but he said, please pray for me that I may speak the word of God with all boldness, that I may make God's will known to the Gentiles as I ought. This man understood a standard. He understood a model. He understood the pattern that had gone before him, and he understood the obstacles that lay ahead of him. I think that's a two-sided statement that we can explore forever, you know, because he knew what went before him. He knew that what he was picking up was not something that was originating in his time. However new the church was, the ecclesia was, for the world, it was not God's first institution. And so the ecclesia is the perfecting institution of God's kingdom. I think that we all need to wrap our heads around that reality, that it's supposed to be the perfecting institution of God's kingdom. And I say that because the ecclesia is the spiritual entity that God had in mind when he deposited all of those countless souls into Jesus Christ before he began any of his works. So it's classic for us to think, okay, well, it's in our age is new. I remember when I first got saved and God called me to the ministry, and of course he called me from a secular career in which I was doing quite well, and I was almost contented, materially speaking, I was contented. Spiritually speaking, I'm not so sure. I wasn't. And then emotionally speaking, I'm not sure there were great days and not. And so he called me, and I remember coming into the church thinking, I'm going to correct it because everything I didn't like about the church, from what I could see with my visual eyes, I could not, you know, I didn't appreciate it, and I was going to bring my secular wisdom and my secular experience into this eternal entity. Well, at the time, I didn't know it was eternal because, well, what did I know about the church other than me attending it on those times that I could fit it in my very busy schedule? So I got, you know, I had wrapped up in my mind, I was going to fix the churches for the Lord. And you know, the Lord Jesus from day one talked to me as if he was sitting at my table, day one. And he never stopped. I always tell people God came to me, connected face to face, and never stopped. And so he asked me, he said, so what makes you think you're going to fix my church? And what do you think I was doing before you got here? And I thought about that. You know, because at the time I could ask him, I didn't know there was anything wrong with Jesus talking to people straight up like that. I thought that was normal. So I rolled right in it. So I talked to him and I said, well, you know, God, these people, they don't know this. And then they didn't get an opportunity to learn that and on and on and on. He said, what makes you think that? And so after that, you know, God's classic thing is to take you to Elijah and his Baal 7,000. And he proceeded to let me know that's not the world I want to replicate. I want to replicate the world that began this, not the world that you're leaving to enter this. And so I'm excited that I'm called to do this. I think God has always primed me to bring, to merge in this generation, to merge more effectively and more efficiently the eternal world with the temporal world, the spirit and the flesh, you know, and then God's kingdom and humanity's ways of life. So he called me to do that. I'm excited about that, even in what I'm doing in the latest book that I'm writing. I address this a lot, but I just want you to understand that God wants us to bring the best of all worlds together. And for some of us, it's like Paul. Paul brought the best of his world from the Roman side, from the Greek side, from the political side, from the Sanhedrin. He brought the best of his worlds, but the best of God out of all of it. And that's what we do. We get an opportunity to do that. So I'm excited about the forum because we deal with that. We don't enter this forum talking about it's either this or that. It is how is God. You're going to be so excited and so surprised this year when you attend because you're going to meet the Lord Jesus and meet the Father God in an entirely different way. We create roundtables and think tanks and all of those kinds of things for you to explore what God is doing. So, yes, this is great. And actually, I understand we have another one of our guests that's going to speak with us this afternoon. Is that right?
That's right. Apostle Sally Chaney is on the line, and she will be speaking with you a little bit later in the show about the role she is going to play in this year's Tulsa Prophetic Forum.
Yes, I'm very excited about it. And so I'm looking forward to it. I want to say to all of you all who are not able to make it, I pray that God, even at this late date, works a miracle for you. I pray that he does the unusual and the supernatural for you to get you there where God makes a way out of no way. You know, we serve the God that says, I can make a river in the desert. And sometimes we need to just go on and challenge him to do that, to make that river in the desert for what he's going to do. And so if that is you, I pray with you. I stand with you in the spirit of the Lord, and I ask God to make a way out of no way, to cause friends or calls or contacts or emails or finances and opportunity, even favor in the workplace, to land on you for you to make it to this event. Even at this time, I do believe that everyone who comes will be amazed. I think they are going to be abundantly empowered because that's my thing. I empower. I love to empower people because God so empowered me from what I was to what I am today that it is an honor and a privilege to pass that on to the kingdom and to the members of his body. So if you need that, take that prayer, wrap your faith around it, and then begin to just tap into the things that are around you. Tap those wells around you to see who, what, when, or where. You know, I don't have airfare. Well, maybe somebody has frequent flyer miles for you that they can use because this is a great missionary opportunity for you. Well, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to have the hotel thing. Maybe God has somebody for you to share with. But don't think like it's over. You know, in God, the only time it's over is when it's gone. And as long as it's en route, there's potential, there's possibility, and there is probability. So I said a lot today, didn't I, Ashley?
You're on a roll, Dr. Price.
Well, I think I rolled through that. I wanted to make sure that I let people know what we're going to do here. The excitement is because people don't want the old any longer. They're ready to migrate from the status quo into that which God is doing next. You know, it's kind of like Israel breaking camp in the wilderness. Okay, God's ready to go. And so he's telling people, tell them to pack up and let's get on to moving to the next place. This is that time. When I think about that, I always tell the story, you know, sometimes those people were situated in a place for years. That means you've set up, you've got your job, you've got your routine, you've got your decorations on the wall, you've got the kid thing, you've got it, your friends, you're set, and here comes God. It's time to break camp because we're moving on. And you would think that because of the way it's written, everybody was really happy and excited about it. Well, I'm telling you, I know a lot of them weren't. You know, I know a lot of them, I don't feel like taking down the tent. I don't feel like packing up this stuff again. I don't feel like moving. I'm going to leave my friends. I'm not sure I'm going to have the same place I had before. Breaking camp is a challenge. But the only thing that surpasses or surmounts that challenge is the enthusiasm of what God is doing next. When you begin to wake up in the morning and realize that you were a part of what God finished and you're a part of what he's starting, that is a great honor. And for whoever you are that I'm speaking to, let's not get caught up in what the old things we're leaving behind, and let's go forward to what God wants to do next. God says to some of you, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Go forward. Because if you look back, even what you think you're leaving is messing up. You realize that the only reason she looked back is because she thought she was leaving something that was going to continue after her departure. What she didn't realize is that God was rescuing her from something that he was finished with. And for some of you, God is finished with it. That's not everything. But for some of you, God is finished with that, and he's ready for you to go on to the next thing that he's telling you to do. I speak that to you prophetically, and I speak the wisdom to you apostolically that you cannot continue to vacillate on whether you're leaving or not. You know, Lot vacillated. He vacillated so much that if God hadn't had those angels pick him up and carry him out, he would have been dead. He would have died with the end of an era. And God is saying to somebody, I don't know who you are today. He says, listen, come on out. And in your case, what you're leaving is not cursed. It's just you're done with it. I often tell people when God moves you on, that doesn't mean that he's ready to curse what you're leaving. It just means you're ready to be promoted. You're graduated. You don't hear too many people saying, you know what, I really don't want to graduate. I mean, I realize I put in my 5 years in school or my 4 years. I think I just want to hang out here a little bit. People are just looking forward to the next assignment. And whoever you are, and I feel like it's a woman, your next assignment is of God. Be ready to go into it. And you're going to have to break camp. And you're going to have to pack up a few things. And you're going to have to change the kids' school. And you're going to have to do all of those things. But trust me, at the next location, you are going to be glad that you went through the effort. And the difficulties and the frustration that you're imagining are not going to be anywhere near as intense as you envisioned them being. The Holy Spirit says, be ready to go to your next assignment. And I know this is for more than one person, but I know I'm speaking to a woman right now. And God says, be ready to go to the next assignment. All right, Ashley, I'm done.
Well, I just love the dynamics of the show. I'm sure that's more than one person you're talking to right there. I mean, I'm thinking about myself, all the changes that are happening in your ministry, the way we're about to be stretched, the way we're about to grow and be on the run, and having to remember, don't look back at the life that you're leaving. Because I think the strange thing about change is once we get in the middle of it and we feel the pressure of it and we have to move forward, we forget all of the times we were crying in our old life and all of the things we're griping to God about, and this house and these people and my shoes and my money and whatever. And once we get thrown into the pressure of promotion, all of a sudden we forget. And it's like, God, what are you doing to me? Like, wait a minute. He's setting us up. He's answering our question. But we just kind of want to wake up like a Cinderella fairy tale and be in a better place and not actually have to make it happen. I remember you always teach us that promotion means added responsibility and added response and added requirements. And so you can't start crying when God starts answering your prayer and your life starts changing, because it's going to be more work.
And, you know, I tell you something, that has been something we had to live. We had to live out. I remember when God first gave me that word, and so whoever you are, you're going to love this. I remember when God first gave me that word, and he said, listen, I'm getting ready to bless you. I'm going to bless you very, very, very greatly. It's going to be of great magnitude. He said, and you're going to have no time to yourself, and he's going on, okay? And I said, oh, wow, this is really great. And I'm just praising him, and he cuts in my own reverie. He says, listen, when I bless you, don't give me grief. I was like, grief, God, I'm your God. Don't give my grief. In other words, don't grieve my spirit, because with answered prayer comes increased responsibility, increased demands, and shrunken time and independence. You don't get a lot of time to yourself. And so he said to me, I'm going to do this. So then after he gave me this long talk, I kind of got, you know, a little bit hesitant. Well, maybe I am too enthusiastic. So he said, so do I go forward or not? I'm thinking the alternative of you not going forward, Lord, is kind of like, what? And so I said, hey, God, I'll grow into it. So I thanked him. He said, it's all, you know, God, done. So he moves away. I go to my staff, and I say, guys, the Holy Spirit says to me that we are getting ready to get extremely blessed, that he's answering our prayers. We've been praying every morning, 5:30 in the morning. We get out there. I said, guys, I'm finally answering your prayers. But when I answer, I don't want to hear your whining and complaining, because I'm answering your prayers. God brought Israel out of Egypt because they prayed to get out. Now, we know it was a part of their plan, but it didn't have to be that generation. After all, a whole lot of them had already died. And he said, but when they got out there and realized the responsibilities and the opportunity to build something from the ground up, to start from zero, to make something happen without the intrusions or the oppressions of the existing status quo, I mean, they started murmuring and complaining. But I say to you today, I'm glad, Ashley, that you brought that up. See, I'm telling you, girl, you are useful to me for ministry. You know? You're useful.
Well, praise the Lord.
but I told you, I say to you today, I'm going to answer a lot of prayers, says the Lord. Don't give me grief. Don't grieve my spirit by murmuring, complaining, looking back, because trust me, you have no idea how big God is. And a lot of times we ask God for big things, and we're not big enough to manage them, and then we want to go back. And so those are some of the things we're going to talk about at length at the forum. So I don't want to give away the story, but actually that was a great comment that you made. I was glad you reminded us of it.
Oh, Dr. Price, it's my pleasure, because I'm living it. It's just right there in the forefront of my mind.
So in other words, the Holy Ghost has been telling you, okay, this is the it time.
Well, yeah, you know, when God knows our patterns and habits, and he knows when something is about to hit that button that causes us to knuckle down and put our feet down in the sand and sit down on him. And so I remember the day you told us that, and I was like, oh, praise God. And and so he knows when he's coming up on that in you, and now he can say to us, don't give me grief, which means I'm about to lay something out on you. You are more than capable of handling it, but I really need your cooperation so we can get it done and not miss my window, because we don't realize that God has windows that he has to move through. And if we are messing up his time frame, then other people are affected.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, you bring another thought. So I'm going to share this thought, and then we're going to get to our calls. But I feel like today God wants to communicate some of this wisdom to our listeners and our callers, that they would know that you don't get an opportunity to say, oops, it's bigger than I thought, but I thought we meant it, because that doesn't work. And so think about that. You know how I always teach you all about the Kadesh Barnea moment. You know, we all teach about Kadesh Barnea because it's so full of wisdom. And it's so full of insights that we need. And so I teach about that because it's important. And when you made that comment, I was reminded of one of the messages that I taught about that, you know, the day that God said to them, okay, go take the land, God was geared up. And he was not just geared up with just, okay, this is a great opportunity, I have them out there. No, he was geared up for two things, to either take them into the promised land or to show them they weren't ready. And so as it happened, the second thing turned out to be the case. He said to them, I want, you know, guys, go in. Why? I've got my angels on the ground. I've got powers up moving. I've opened the opportunity. I've put panic in their hearts. I've made them know where this is it. I am geared up. I'm ready to go today, right now. Go up and take the land. God is saying to some of you all today, today I got ready. This month, this year, this season, this era, I'm ready to go now because everything that I need to assure my success is in place. And so they decided, hey, are you kidding? They looked at the obstacles and not the opportunity. And so they, being convinced, persuaded by the obstacles, they said, hey, are you kidding? They're going to kill us. These guys are big. They, you know, they're giants and on and on and on. They forgot that this is the same God that emptied a nation to get them out. But see, you know, God's signs and wonders sometimes in our lives are short-lived in our memories. So he goes on and he says, no. This is the day. They decide not to go. Now, remember, heaven is busy. Heaven is moving. God's kingdom is very busy because he's dealing with the whole world. That day, they didn't go in that window. That window of opportunity did not move. They go there, and then, of course, Moses lets them know, hey, guys, you've all really messed up. You missed your opportunity. You know, we like to say God is the God of a second chance, but you know what? He's the God of another chance, not the second chance at the first thing. So we need to straighten that up because a lot of us have never gotten those opportunities again. So that means there was no second go round. So Moses goes, and they cry because God is convicting them all night long. Everybody's whining. They're scared. I don't know what to do. You know how it is, because when God's displeasure is real, it affects your sentiments and your emotions. They wake up the next day and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make the Most High happy. We're going to make Yahweh. We're going to get hey, we're ready. Come on, let's get geared up. We're going to war. We're going to take the land. Moses said, I'm not going. He said, because the Lord is not with you. He said, because the Lord was here yesterday. He's got another project he's working on today. So he was there yesterday. Him, his forces, the angels are no longer on the ground. You know, when I say that, for those of you who say, I don't get that, remember, the Elisha prayed, let them see that there's more with us than against us. So those guys are gone. Now, they the campaign, but that was a bust. We're leaving. Let's go on to the next thing. Meanwhile, Moses stays in the camp. They go out and get slaughtered. Why? Missed the day. It should have turned out superbly, but it didn't. And so what started out as an opportunity ended up as an object lesson. When God says today is the day, be ready for that day. And so I'm glad, you know, Ashley, you got me all excited. I've been in prayer all week long, so I'm fired up. But you have me all excited for those of you, and again, whoever that is, right now, the powers of God are on the ground for you. Let's get ready to take this thing, because this is the day and this is the hour. I hope it's a blessing to you. If it is, go to my Facebook and let me know. I want to hear your window and your opportunity or obstacles. And are you going to is it going to be an object lesson? Or are you going to definitely have a breakthrough? Go to my Facebook or you can email us. You know, we give you all that information. But I genuinely want to hear from you all on this today, because I believe that the Holy Ghost is releasing immeasurable, uncountable opportunities and open doors, that a lot of Kadesh Barneas are coming, and this is an admonishment that God is saying, don't miss your window, because I'm not coming this way again. When God came back to do that thing, it wasn't a Kadesh Barnea anymore, it was Jericho. So we got in that region, but it was Jericho that they had to go take, because the first one was an object lesson, and it was the revelation that we're not as ready. Just because God brings you out doesn't mean you're ready to enter in. Sometimes we need a little training. We need a little grooming. We need a little anointing, and we need a little, deliverance, so that God can eliminate some things, eliminate the things that will cause you not to keep that, which is he is about to entrust into your hands. So I'm excited. That last word I know was for a young son out there. That's God's word. You know, I want to teach you how to keep what I'm getting ready to give you. So, okay, Ashley, I'm winding down now. I can go to my calls. What do you think?
And I'm winding up. You are saying some stuff today, Dr. That is good. I know everybody better listen to this call three times. God's signs and wonders in our lives are often sometimes short-lived in our memory. my goodness, what started out as an opportunity ended up an object lesson, and just because the Lord brings you out doesn't mean you're ready to enter in. Okay, those 3 points.
You got your 3 points.
Yeah, but I'm focused. I'm ready. Okay, you ready for a caller?
I am ready for a caller.
All right, Cassie, we'll be talking about this revelation. Stacy from Connecticut is on the line. She is actually she is on our program with us. Prophet Adia is her advisor, and she's coming to the forum next week. But she has a prayer request about her finances with her marriage. They're tight right now, and she's going to explain to you the situation. But overall, she needs to know why doors of financial opportunity and really employment keep closing on her and her husband. So, Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, Stacy. How are you doing, girl?
I'm feeling so empowered from your words that you just gave, so I'm almost feeling kind of repentant for even calling in. I feel like now I'm whining and complaining.
Well, you know what? You may be and you may not be, but let's talk it through anyway.
Okay. Okay, so, well, I'm employed. I'm a registered nurse, and I'm employed. I'm recently married about a month and a half ago, and my husband is not employed. We knew he wasn't employed before we got married, but, you know, that's something that God called us to do. But our finances are just, you know, we're both coming to the conference. We're stepping out. You know, we use a couple of charge cards, and we're trusting God, you know, to handle that, but our finances are just in a really bad place, and he's been trying to get jobs. He hasn't worked because of disability, but he's believed he's been healed, so he's trying to find employment, but, you know, he's had a gap in employment, so he's having a hard time finding a job, and I don't know whether I'm supposed to just, you know, like, push, get a job, or, you know, am I supposed to be like, well, you know, maybe this is God's plan. I don't know my role as, I want to be supportive as a wife, and I believe that our finances are going to get better. They're just really tight right now. And he was a truck driver for many years, and he's thinking about going back on the road. But I know that's not a good thing for our marriage, to be on the road for weeks at a time. I could get a part-time job as a nurse, but then I know if I work weekends, I'll miss some things, and I'll be resentful. So I'm just not sure what way to go.
Well, Stacy, you brought a lot that you laid out there for me. Of course you would be the first call, my beloved, so I could – just dive right in the deep end of the pool.
Okay.
You know, Casey, you're a wise woman, so I think that you can hear what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Whether or not God told you to marry him in that state of existence, that's fine. I'm not going to address that because sometimes we just need wisdom. And
right.
The wisdom is you marry the problem.
Right.
And the whole idea, and that's okay. Now, nobody's putting you down, you know, because – as far as I'm concerned, either way, you know, if he wasn't going to be working for 4 years and you wouldn't be married for 4 years if you made that the reason why you didn't get married. But you have to recognize, and I say to everybody on the line today, you don't marry people. You marry their world and their circumstances.
Right.
And you don't know how long God has earmarked that circumstance to last. So when you got married, that should have been on the table, planning. Now, sweetheart, you know, if we're going to get married, we're, especially if you were going to do an extensive marriage, I hope you all didn't do an elaborate wedding because that was
Oh, no. It was us, one other couple, and our pastor. That's all. It was just that.
Superb.
Right.
Superb. So, but understand, you when you marry him, you bought into this situation. It was inevitable. So, and I'm not wanting you to think that because if this wasn't you and you were giving this counsel to another woman, which is how I correct myself, if I was giving this counsel to another woman, what would I say?
Mm-hmm.
It's because you're wise, I can use that analogy with you. So you married the situation, which means that became part of your wedding vows.
Right.
And so you already said, essentially you said, hey, we're going to do it. Whatever, you know, hey, that better or worse clause, you started out on the worst, okay, for better or for worse. So that's the first thing I want you to know so that you can realize that, hey, God, I did this.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise we act like God is obligated to fix it even though we did it.
Okay.
Because, you know, think of it. Do you have children, Stacy?
No, I never birthed any children.
Okay, well, you probably don't have so many prophets in your life, it's going to be all right. But listen, But you, here's what happened. It's like the little kid that broke the toy, and you told him, stop, you're going to break it, stop, you're going to break it, stop, you're going to break it, the kid breaks the toy. Mm-hmm. And they said, Mommy, I broke it, now you fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you this because you need to change your prayers.
Okay.
And you need to change how you're praying and how you're emphasizing it. The first thing you have to say is, God, this is not your responsibility. You did not do this.
Mm, true.
That's number one. Now, that doesn't mean that you're, you know, whatever, because we are, everything's a risk. Life's a risk. So nobody's judging that. Hear me, beloved. I'm not judging. I'm inciting you, if I can. So the first thing you have to do is say, God, you did not do this. I did this. I made the decision, and God, I took a calculated risk.
Okay.
So once you do that, now you are going to go and appeal to mercy. So God,
ooh,
I did it, and I'm asking for your mercy because I've left wisdom. I set aside that. So I'm going to appeal to your mercy, God, and I'm asking you to be merciful to me, and you begin to tell God the lessons you learned from this decision that you will not repeat.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Oh,
because
because
God's a person, and he's a king, and he's an omniscient, omnipotent king. He already knew how this was going to play out, but like the Cadiz Barnea issue, he wanted to let you know you were desirous, but you weren't prepared.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So now that's all water under the bridge, so we're going to push that away. But now let's see if we can get him back in the game, because we took him out. Now we're going to put him back in. So, God, this is what I need. I need you to, first of all, forgive me because I made a decision that I assumed you were going to be my backup in, and I never cleared it with you.
Mm, okay.
Because you didn't clear it with him. You know, sometimes we make prayer so ethereal and so abstract that people don't even realize that you're talking to a person. If God was sitting before you and he was your banker, and your banker saying, you know what, you're a little slim over here, or this person here got some issues, so I would suggest you not make this move right now, you would say to your banker, I know that, thanks for letting me know, I'm going to do this anyway. Your banker's going to say, okay, it's your money, it's your decision, go and have it. So you would make that decision, and you'd go back to your banker and say, wow, this thing turned out worse than I thought, or it's lasting longer than I imagined. Okay, the banker's going to say, but I did tell you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the situation is. So now, the bank is like, so okay, what do you want to do next? That's God. What do you want to do next? God, I want to get my husband working.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get my economy there. So the first thing I'm going to tell you, God, is that was a bad call on my part. I know it because we're mature now. We're apostolic prophetic people, and that's how we distinguish ourselves. We're not kids. We're mature enough to know that was
right.
That we ought to not do this, but let's move on. Now, God, that was a bad call on my part, and let me tell you why it was a bad call so you know that I really learned my lesson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the reason that he's doing this is because there's something greater coming down the line, Stacey, that he wants you to act on prudently.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants you to get it. So, God, this is the thing. So just write down what you learned. And I do it personally. That's how God and I stay in good stead. Because I don't just say, oops, sorry, Lord. Oops, did I do that? No. Lord, that was bad. I don't know what I was thinking. But, hey, I got my head back. I got clarity back. These are the things that I know. This is how I'm not going to do it again. And this is how I'm going to recognize this setup in the future. Because you're called to be a high-level prophet, really an apostle. And God does not need you to take that and replicate that mindset in his people.
Mm. And you know what you're saying is so true because I have this is not something new. This is something that I see a pattern in my life. I get emotional and I believe that, oh yes, God has told me to do that, but it may not have been his time. And so what happens
right.
is I get this is a pattern for me. This is not new.
Well, that's the beautiful part, but see, you understand now, so you know why God did this. This was God taking control of the situation because you have a good man. So there's nothing about him. There's nothing wrong with him. But if you had given God at least 3 years and maybe 5 years, he would have been on his feet because God's got a vision in his heart that he needs to nurture. And sometimes we incubate better without a spouse than we do with a spouse.
Mm, true.
And so the church rushes us to get married. You got the world rushing us to get married. Everybody's rushing us to get married, short-circuiting a lot of destiny. Okay, and a lot of visions and provisions. So anyway, but that's fine. We're moving forward. You're the good man. Now, there's not a judgment call on him whatsoever, but even he now doesn't know what God would have done had he
right.
just waited and let God finish doing what he was doing. But now we're in plan B. So let's get back to this. So now you're going to let God know how you made this decision. Because if you don't revisit and retrace your steps on how you keep falling into something, you're going to always keep repeating it. I have a teaching, Stacey, that I give in my church about your crises and your blessings fall in cycles. But cycles have signs. Let you know they're coming back. You can rest assured, for example, how many times have you said, man, every 3 years I go through this, or every 6 years, okay? That's, and you need to retrace that now, and you need to go back and look at all of the little mile markers and little signatures along the way to let you know that the cycle was getting geared up, because you obviously develop a habitual pattern that opportunity and obstacles can count on.
Yes.
So we're going to move you out this. I think I gave you a lot of healing and deliverance today. So now we're going to migrate you into the next thing God wants to do. So you're going to have to go to him as a mature woman and say, you know, God, I take responsibility for this. I took and imposed something on you that you told me. You implied, because I know God is faithful. So I know he gave you a dream, a vision, a word, a prophecy, inkling, something. Because God is not derelict in his duty. So, you know, he's not a God of dereliction, so he would have told you. So here's what I want you to do. But after you do that, you listen to hear what he says.
Okay.
Because we know he's a forgiving God. But just because God forgives doesn't mean he again resumes trust. Remember, he forgave them about Kadesh Barnea, but he waited for Jericho.
Okay.
So you want to make sure that you and God are on the same page. Okay, God, we messed up. And the same thing with your husband, because he too had signs. He had great concerns about this. He didn't like this. He didn't like coming in like this. But you're going to help him find his peace, because he's a good guy. So I know that. So here's what you're going to do. So after you do that, you're going to move forward and say, okay, God, we just need to know, how is it that we can fix this? And we're leaning on your grace. We're leaning on your mercy.
Okay.
How is it, how we can fix it? Once you do that, the Holy Ghost is going to open up opportunities again. And right in the beginning, though, he said to tell you, I'm only going to give you a little respite, because I want to see if you're serious about the maturity that you are portraying.
Okay.
So you're not going to get the big thing all at once. You're going to get a little respite, which is going to be great. And then, and it's going to be, you know, remember, God's little and our little, you know, God is the guy that makes a little and it's an atom. You know, we get an atomic bomb out of his little, you know, so thank God his little is not our little. But he said to tell you, that's the next thing. You're going to get a little piece of a respite, and you and God are going to work with you, because he wants to see if you and your husband are going to walk with him, or is he just going to be your escape hatch and your cleanup guy. And he said, I don't want to be that in your life any longer. He said, I want to be not only your father, but he said, I want us to work together on your life. That we co-labor on your life.
Okay.
Because your life is important to him. So we're going to do, you're going to move forward with that. Then after you do that, you're going to get your respite. After you get your respite, be prepared to listen to see what God has to do. One of the things I do know is that your husband is supposed to start some sort of a business. But he's not going to get all the details of that till you and him resolve this with the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
So be at peace. You're going to get a lot of information next week when you come, though, beloved. Yeah. But this is a good little bit for you all to start on.
Sure is.
Is that fair enough for you?
Oh, yes.
Okay, because that's where you and God are going to go. It's going to be great for you. And trust me, when you have a high call to whom much is given, much is required, that required means I'm going to train harder than I've trained any other, because God's got to protect his future fruit from you.
Right.
And he wants to make sure that what you replicate in his name, whether it's professionally or whether it's ministerially, is going to be of his quality and his perspectives. Because we are, you know, I'll be honest with you, the tail end, I don't believe the beginning was, but the tail end of that whole faith thing turned out to make people very reckless. And I'm sure that's not what they intended when they started it, but, you know, flesh is flesh, and that's just what it is. Made us very reckless. We were very presumptuous about God. Well, I'm just going to do it, and God's going to fix it. Well, I'm just going to buy it, and he'll pay it. I'm just going to see, God is like, wait a minute. I rule you. You don't rule me.
Right.
And see, my kingdom's working on my plan, not yours. And so a lot of us are coming out of that, and we're waking up, because that was an intoxicating season. Because to establish the move, God let a lot of things go. But when we started moving from establishment you know, from initiation to establishment and then from establishment to institution, he said, now listen, I need to come back and fix some of this. So a lot of us today on the planet are going through the same thing. We're just assuming that God is the Mr. Fix-It and he's going to do it his way. But remember, Kadesh Barnea had a window.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want you to do is to be ready for the next window that's coming. It is not long.
Understand.
All righty. So I'm going to pray. I thank you for letting me minister to you because you are just such a gracious woman. I cannot wait to meet you.
I can't wait either. I'm so excited. I'm not a birth mother, but I just feel like next week is my delivery date, and I'm so excited.
Well, but listen, then I'll get in the midwife role, as I say. I'll get in my midwife role, and then we'll do it. We'll get you right there. But it's going to be good for you. I'm glad you called because it gave me an opportunity to answer a lot of things for a lot of people. You're a very sound woman. You're very sage. But you know, and I know, that this is what God wants to say to you. Baby, in this. Let's start moving into what it's going to take to get you, even if it fulfill all the prophecies you have. You have so many prophecies on your life.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so God wants to start fulfilling them, but God, hear me, God said, I created the waster to destroy. So he's not going to do waste.
Yeah.
Because that's not him. And so we're going to go forward. Father, thank you for Stacy. Thank you for who she is. Thank you for her husband. Thank you for her marriage. Bless their union, God. Bless her husband. God, I thank you for the respite that you're going to give them and your mercy. I thank you for their maturity. I thank you for their stability, God. And I thank you for the bond that you're putting between us, that bond that's going to be knitted together with our love, the love of Christ. And God, I thank you for watching over every word that I've spoken to perform it and for visiting them and getting this wonderful couple back on track. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Price.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
There will. Take care.
You too. Prophet Ashley.
Yes, that was good. That counsel went out to a lot of people, I'm sure, a lot. And not just about marriage, but just about the principle of what you were talking about. Before you commit to something, make sure you're not in your mind committing God to it, too.
Yeah. It's not a word. But you know what I love, what I've watched over the years, and I appreciate being who I am, and I appreciate the journey, the very challenging, very hard 30-year journey that I've been on. But I have been listening to God over and over again. In these last several years, God is telling me these people are marrying way too fast, and because they're marrying because of the wedding, the honeymoon, and the domesticity, but not because of the entirety of that union. You marry people, you marry their world. You marry their friends and their enemies. You marry their wealth and their poverty. You marry their family. You marry their histories and their destinies. You don't just marry a person. And we teach it as if you're just marrying this entity, and you step in and you realize that this thing comes with a lot of strings attached to it and a lot of obligations and duties that you didn't count on. You know, when I train you all and I start teaching you all about marriage, I tell you, it's one thing to be a bride and it's one thing to be a groom. It's another thing to be a husband or a wife. And a husband or a wife is something that you don't know in these people until you get there. Because God says the spirit of marriage is a different spirit altogether. It's different from the spirit of courtship. And so I would say to all of you out there, and some of you all right now, you just can't wait for everybody to see you in your wedding gown and to see you you just can't wait for that. You've never looked beyond that single day. Practice being a spouse, because being a bride or a groom is only a few hours. Being a spouse is supposed to be for life. Hallelujah. What's next, Ashley?
For Jesus. Okay. We have back with us. It's been a while since you've heard from her, but this is Jennifer from Georgia. You first discussed with her the fish fry. When you first connected with her, she was going to do a fish fry. We're still waiting to get some fish.
I know. That's right. Where's my fish, girl?
She's calling today for directions. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Oh,
Dr. Price?
Yes, Jennifer. Where is my fish girl? I'm waiting for
Look, listen, I'm on the way. I'm on the way with it. I promise you. We're going to do this fish fry together in person. I'm just so glad to be connected to you again. I just love listening to you guys. Oh, my God, you guys are such a blessing. Even Prophet Ashley, when I listen to the two of you guys kind of spring off of each other, it is so empowering to your listeners because of the prophetic insight. I get so much insight just listening to you guys, and I'm like the lady that just got off the line. I almost feel repentant myself because it's like, oh, my God, I hope I'm not whining and complaining. But I heard so much just you talking to this lady. One of the things that is such a confirmation is learning the lessons, real, going before God and telling him the lessons you learned from the mistake that you made, not putting it on God, but, Lord, you know what, I made a bad judgment call. I jumped ahead of you. I did this. I did that. It was my decision. Look at all the crap that happened, blah, blah, blah. I take full responsibility. It won't happen again, but these are the lessons that I learned. Talked it over with my children. Look, mommy made a mistake in some areas. It cost us this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. Not putting any blame on anybody, but this was not of God over here, or this was premature over here, or this was not wisdom here. This was foolishness over here. I'm sorry. Not, okay, God, you know, I thought you did this and I thought you said that. Could you please fix it? No. There were some things that I, in hindsight, that you see very, very clearly. You take responsibility and ownership of it. You forgive yourself, which is probably the hardest part of all because of all the losses and devastation that is a part of that, but you do forgive yourself and move on, and that's what I've done. So right now, the reason I've called in, first of all, I'm happy. I'm content, happy. I'm in a peaceful place in my spirit. But at the same time, I'm here now at my mom's house. She's elderly and she's disabled. And it's kind of like a different shift than I had intended or thought, especially with my business, because I do work from electronically from home. And there's a lot of, oh, my gosh, a ton of, how can I say this, tentacles and circumstances and just stuff that is too much to go into right now. It's nothing bad. It's just it's kind of throwing me off. there's a lot of detail that I would have to lay a lot of groundwork, and the Holy Spirit knows, and I'm just calling for direction. It's a different direction that I thought I was going to be going in such a short period of time. I have a lot of people depending on me business-wise. I have a 17-year-old that's still in the home, which is not in the home, and that's kind of complicated. I can't even explain that. But we're all here at my mom's house now. My oldest daughter, her husband, me, my ex-husband, who my mom invited here because he was homeless and he was helpful here, and then my youngest daughter. So we're all here. And it's interesting, to say the least. But what I really heard this morning when you first, before you took the first caller, and you said, I don't know who I'm talking to. You were talking to me. I'm sure you were talking to others. You were definitely talking to me. I'm just not quite sure how to process it all. I'm not going to try to fix anything or figure nothing out, but to be still and pray and just allow the Lord to order my steps, because it's a direction, and it's like being on a freeway. You thought you were going this way, and the map is saying something altogether different, and it's like, okay, I'm just going to ride this out. So that's why I called. I'm not confused. I'm just not clear on the direction I'm supposed to be on, because I've gotten this mandate about business and all the stuff and the people pulling on me to do one thing, and yet my mom needs me here because she doesn't have anybody to really be here other than my oldest daughter and her husband, and they're trying to move on. So, it's kind of complicated here.
Well, actually, it is. It is very complicated. You all have a quagmire going on there. But I am proud of you, first of all, because you are right. You are at peace. You have, God's done a lot of cleansing of your soul. I hear it in your voice. You sound like all of the fragmentation that caused you to make a lot of those decisions and judgments have been mended, that God has literally sealed those cracked places, that you are no longer seeping that immaturity and emotionality that was driving you. You know, you've come to terms with a lot of things in God, and it's clear from your spirit, and it's clear
yes,
from your soul that you're there. So now you have really gone through a lot of what I just counsel the other lady to do, because you are like, okay, I'm there, now what? So I'm going to answer you, praise God, by the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to tell you, one of the things, Jennifer, that all of us have to learn is that we, our decisions are in our head. They play out in the theater of life, and life runs on a 24/7 clock. Now, I really want you to get what I just said, because it's very important. We can make a decision in a 30-second window, but it can take 30 years to settle down. God made a single decision in the garden. He said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. He made a single decision that he knew was going to take him, my Leah, to work through. And so he knew that. But see, we don't have his view. We don't have his 360 view of past, present, and future. If we did, there are a lot of things we would have said, you know what, I don't want to live that for 7 years. You know, we just want to, we would have been, we could say at the end of 7 years it would be great, but I don't want to live it for 7 years. We don't really teach people that. You have a great scholar's anointing. You have a great apostolic anointing. There is no question about it, because there are ways that apostles and prophets respond to correction that most sheep can't. And so you are definitely that. But I want you to recognize that, number one, God needs your business. You need your business because you need the money. So you're going to have to start ranking your priorities. Your priorities that you need money. You can't even take care of your mama because you need the money. That's number one. Number two, there has to be a family member, a daycare, or you know, a school internship program or something that you can get somebody to stay with your mom while you do your job. But the priority is, if you never get your business off the ground, you'll never solve this thing with your mom. You'll never get out of the house and all of that. So that's it. But I want to say one other thing to you, because you are mature enough to hear me, and because we're going to meet very soon. You and I are going to meet very soon. Don't know how God's going to do that. But we're going to meet very soon, because I need to lay my hands on you, and I need to deliver your soul for these last 2 things. But here's the thing that God wants you to know. You're going to teach this in the future, and this is what you're going to say. Sweetheart, you can open up things in your realm of life that catches everybody. And so everybody's caught up in this, and as you just plow through day by day, working the plan, not getting distracted, finding out the one thing that has to happen and work that no matter what, you do that, God's going to settle the rest of this.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, ma'am, it does. Yes.
Because you're trying to fix all of the issues at one time. Find the one thing that will fix the issues and work that one thing. And in your case, it's your job and it's the money. That means when everybody's crying, when everybody's fussing, spitting, you stay on focus, stay on point. I can speak to this because that's how I've survived my life. I have learned that the one thing God tells me to do is what I'm going to do. Everybody else, they can scream, shout, they can do what they want to do. I don't care. I will dig in my heels and finish that, because I know that the one thing that God told me to do will be the solution to everything else that is blowing up around me.
Amen.
So I keep them, you know, I meet the obligations. You're going to meet your obligations, obviously. But you, right now, you're trying to fix everything at once. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to really encase yourself in almost a vacuum and work through this situation through that one major assignment. And as you do, you're going to find everything else settling. It's amazing how that does it. When you are trying to do everything at once, nothing gets resolved. When you tap into the one thing that you need to do, everything else will come under that. And that's what I see happening in your life. So you cannot go back and fix. God said to tell you, don't apologize.
Hello?
So you can't go back and fix this. Can you hear me?
Now I can. It was like a little glitch there. Say that one more time, please. God said, don't apologize, and then what?
He said, don't apologize another time. You've done that. Get up and be the solution. You've already been you've been the cause. You've been the effect. You've been the consequences. You've been the penitent. Now get up and be the solution.
Okay. Amen.
And go forward and fix this thing out. Now, God's going to visit you. He told me he's going to visit you. He's going to talk with you about this. He said, I'm going to give you a plan that's going to give you a leg up. stay on that. Now, the minute you start pursuing God's thing, everything else is going to get very insistent, very hasty, and we can talk about that another time. But right now, if you work on the thing that's going to fix the most issues at one time.
Okay.
Now, next thing I want to tell you is that you can talk with Prophet Ashley when this call is over and find out how you can get some more counsel. But I'm going to tell you the truth. It doesn't make a difference it doesn't make any difference about all of the intricacies that got you where you are. The fact of the matter is now it's about you getting you out. And God said to tell you, as much as it's going to frustrate you to hear it, this process that you're on is going to take 3 years. At the end of 3 years, you will be completely out of all of this. It will all be a thing of the past, but you're going to walk it out for the 3 years.
Yay. But at least I'm coming out. Yay. There's a window of opportunity. I hope there. Yes, that's fine. 3 years is fine. Okay.
Yes. And he's going to give you the plan. But hear me. You are going to have to listen to the Lord. You're going to get a lot of people who are going to tell you, that doesn't make any sense. That can't work. Girl, you're missing God. Trust me on this word. The Holy Ghost says, if you give it to me, I will bring you out in 3 years. At the end of the 3-year window, you're going to look back and say, wow, God did what he said. Wow, this thing worked. He paid off the debt. We're in a nice home. Our kids are at peace. I mean, I'm looking forward to the future, and you'll be back in your ministry stretch, and it'll be wonderful. But you're going to have to become very myopic for this season of your life so that you won't extend your resources beyond what they're able to do. Because right now, your own resources are so emotional resources. They're so strained and so stretched, you could barely get up in the morning and take on anything new. So you're going to stay focused. That's what God wants you to do. I'm going to give you the plan, says the Lord. I'm going to work out this thing. I'm going to give it to you systematically. You're going to do it. On the date I tell you to do something, you do it. The thing I tell you to pay, pay. When I bring this in, I don't want to hear what's screaming. You pay that because I know what things are attached to what.
Okay. Awesome.
And so... And you're not going to listen to your kids whining and crying, although you have great kids. But you're not going to listen to that either, because Satan is going to try to trigger a lot of things to keep you bound. You're going to have to make sure that he doesn't get to use the system against you anymore.
Okay. Okay, great. Awesome. And I have one other question. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we have other things to discuss, but let's work with that right now.
Okay. I just wanted to ask you one particular question. One of the concerns that I have that's been on my heart for a long time is not being able to stay connected to a church. It's like as soon as I have to move and I find a church nearby, because maybe I'm lacking transportation and maybe I'm just trying to stay connected to the body by visiting maybe this local church, and I'll not necessarily join, but at least fellowship and try to get involved and be of service to the kingdom there in any way that I can, and then life will happen again, whatever it caused it, and I would have to move or relocate again. And then now I'm not able to get back to that church, and so I'm in a whole different area, different county, city, whatever. And so now I'm looking for another church to fellowship that's close by. And I'm like, God, this has been going on too long. Okay, I think you already know all the times I've had to move around. But even with the churches, it's like I can't seem to get connected to a church, a fellowship. And I was just talking to one of my prayer warriors last night, my friends, and it's bothering me because it's like, Lord, I want to be planted. I don't see anything in the Word that says that I'm not supposed to be or shouldn't be, or, you know, I know apostles move around a lot, but I guess I don't understand it. I don't want to assume or presume anything, but that is a concern of mine.
Well, I'm going to tell you, as you were talking, this here is a familiar spirit too, but this thing had its root in something way, way back in your early walk with Jesus and some sort of conflict you had with the church way, way back, and you did not take the proper stance in that situation. And I'm going to tell you something. There are times that people can't stay connected because they have to break something that they created in the spirit. A church split. Okay, leaders, a false accusation, fussing with a mentor, something. Because whenever God doesn't want to put you in his body, it's because you did something that's bothering him that he needs to deal with, because it bred something. Not everything we do breeds, but when you are who we are, everything we do breeds. So I want you to do me a favor before I answer that. I can call off some stuff, but I would want you to go back in time and look at, I don't care if it's sided with the wrong person, gave wrong counsel, but somewhere along a line, you wounded something in the spirit of a church. And whatever that wounding is, God wants to resolve that in your life.
Hmm.
Sometimes it's when you first get saved. I know I did. It took me 20 years almost to realize what I did to the first church. Because I was right. I don't care what anybody said. I was right. I don't care what you say, God. I was right. I was right.
Well, the very first church I was connected to was Fred Price in Los Angeles. Way before he was Crenshaw Christian Center, he was the pastor of West Washington Community Church on the west side of L.A. I was in middle school at the time. Worked in the nursery. I knew his daughters. We went, his middle daughter and I went to school together. Got saved there. Matter of fact, I got saved every Sunday because I wasn't sure, and I just wanted to make sure. I didn't know about faith and all that. He had just got connected with Kenneth Hagin. I can't recall off the top. I would have to ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to my. I don't know if it's that far back or since.
Well, he'll bring it. You were an adult when this happened. You were an adult. He'll bring it back, but I want to move on. We're going to talk again. Talk to Prophet Ashley. Tell her I want to set up some time. She'll tell you what the routine is. You'll go through it because you need a lot more than what this can do.
Okay, gotcha.
Is that good?
Okay.
Let me pray.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Go ahead, please. Thank you.
I am so proud of you, sweetheart. You hang tough because you've come a mighty
thank
long
you.
Way. Okay?
Thank you, Dr. Price. I love you so much.
I love you, too. Let me pray. Father, thank you for Jennifer. Thank you for her life, her stand. Thank you that she's your daughter. Thank you, Lord, that she has been faithful, that through it all she still clung to you, which is what you want. God, I appreciate the training and the nurturing and development that you're giving her. I thank you for the healing and the victory. But now, Lord, I'm asking, I'm standing with her in the gap, and I'm asking that you would have mercy to relieve some of this pressure and, Lord, to give her insight, hallelujah, on the things you want. God, I break this bind in her life in Jesus' name. I loose the shackles around her existence in the name of Jesus. I speak to every foul, unclean devil that's exploiting this situation, and I command you to cease and desist, halt every maneuver. I bind it up in Jesus' name and break this thing off of her life. Now, God, we give her a breakthrough in the area of finances that she can get back up on her feet and she can begin to move into purpose and destiny. We break every shackle off of her, God. We command disfavor to be replaced by favor in every regard. I don't care who she talks to. Let it be, God. Let there be favor. Let there be receptivity. And God, cause the bowels of mercy of your church to open up to this woman in Jesus' name. And let peace come upon that home. Now, Lord, we summon from anonymity the person who will help her with her elderly mom. A person who loves her will do it just because she cares and will take care of her, God. I summon this person from anonymity into manifestation and into activation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Bless you, Dr. Price, and all of you, Prophet Ashley. Thank you guys so much. And
we'll
be in touch. And I'll get in touch with Prophet Ashley like he asked me to.
Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye, honey. Prophet Ashley.
Oh, yeah. That was good. And I can't wait to meet her. You know, I want some of that fish. I mean, we want to bless her, of course.
Okay. Can I tell you, you can flip-flop in there or bring a big old not to mention good food to you, right?
Matters of the spirit, matters of the flesh. I thank God for them all.
Hey, you know, as you say, well, you got to eat, you know, you might as well eat good stuff. And I know
that's
how you love good seafood. So, you know, and we don't get good seafood that much here in Tulsa. So every time I travel, I love it. Hey, where do we go from here? It's like we're at the top of the hour, aren't we?
We are. What we're going to do is take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, you and Apostle Sally Cheney are going to be talking a little bit, very briefly, about the Tulsa Prophetic Forum and what everybody can expect out of worship. Because getting prophets and apostles together worshiping God, that's a whole other experience.
Hallelujah.
Within the business world, assessments have been used for years to make decisions about personal development, hiring, managing, promoting, and leading others. But what about God's business? What can his leaders use to assess their ministries and churches? The answer is PPM Global Resources Standardized Ministry Assessment. Have your ministry organization assessed to find out what kind of church or ministry you have. If you and your organization are on the same page and compatible, how willing and able your members are to take on the vision the Lord gave you, if you have the right people in position to achieve that vision, and if you can help your congregation or organization get into their purpose. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today and click on Group Assessment for more information and to get your ministry organization started. Or call 877-419-1299 to speak with a representative. PPM Global Resources. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
And we're back with Dr. Price and the Paula Price Show. I just got a text, Dr. Price, from Prophet Adia. She said, ma'am, what a great show today. This is a great, great show.
And, you know, God is kicking us up, you know, every week we're like, okay, Jesus, what are you going to do next? And I know a lot of our callers realize that we're just moving by with the Holy Ghost. You know, he's telling us, he's picking the calls and all of that and giving the counsel, and I praise him for it. My passion is Jesus the Christ, and that he gets what he gave his life for. If I can do that in my life, then my whole existence would be fulfilled. So where's Apostle Sally? Is she on there?
She is. And you know what? I love text messaging because your apostles are chiming in. Apostle Raphael, he said, with wisdom, coming out of Dr. Price. I love it.
Who was that?
Apostle Raphael.
Oh, Raphael. My God, yes. I'm going to see him next week. You know, that's my son. I love that man. He's an amazing guy.
Okay, yeah, I know it. I'm so excited. And Apostle Sally, you are live on the line. As long as your cell phone is not muted, you are live and we are able to hear you. Welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to be on the show and so glad to talk to my closest chief apostle, Dr. Paula Price, live.
Ooh, but, you know, I told you before, we talked last week, every year we do this event, I love it, and you're getting involved with it has been just, you know, sent us to the top, but I tell everybody, you are like my real passionate friend in this service and in this ministry. I love it. I'm glad God connected us. I'm going to tell them a little bit about you, and then you're going to tell them, you know, how you got involved with the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, tell them a little bit about R, because, you know, R is our baby, and how God moves with you as an apostle. So I'm going to start. I met this woman 10 years ago. Well, now more than 10 years ago. And when I met her, she was, I think you were worshiping at that time. I'm not sure, but I think so. But I met you at your event, and I sat at the table and said, you know, God says you're going to be an apostle. And you were like, this lady was like, yeah, okay. And she was very cordial. But, you know, couldn't see that. And then years later, after God took her through his journey, he got her ready to be an apostle. And yet she was very different. I speak to you all out there who are apostles and you want to be like everybody else. This is not a cookie-cutter office. There's a reason why God had 12 different apostles, and there's a reason why Matthias made a 13th different kind of one, and then Barnabas made another kind of one, and then Paul made another kind of one, and then Apollos made another kind of one. Why? Because God is omni. So he's got to have a fivefold representation and variation in every sphere of human life. In this woman's case, she's an amazing apostle, but her strength is worship, bringing people into that dimension of authority in worship. You know, we kind of think worship is about, it's kind of like a romantic moment, not always. And so I'm excited about that. She founded a ministry called Apostolic Worship Embassy, and we enjoy her on our events because I'm telling you, God walks in and stands up with this woman. And so I'm glad she does it every year with us, twice a year at our event. For those of you who are apostles and you want to have this kind of training or experience, and it's not common, but it is a familiar enough for you to not feel like, oh God, we're going off the deep end. And so I just want you to know that I'm grateful to have you aboard today. I'm glad we're going to be in our event next week. But now I'm going to turn it over to you, Pastor Sally. Talk a little bit about yourself, the forum, and all.
All right. Well, again, it's a pleasure to be on the show with you. And I am excited about the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. It's been a good 12 or 13 years that I've known Dr. Price, and I've been a part of the forum for several years now, and it has been an experience to behold. I just encourage everybody to be here. If you can come get a seat while you can. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be awesome. But I have been in ministry for about 45 years, and I've been in worship as a lead worship leader for at least about 15 years. And I didn't know that's what God was calling me into. I just thought he was going to call me to preach, but he told me that this is the area where the stronger anointing was for me, and I was excited because I just love to give him worship. It is an experience when we get together that just is exciting. So my role, the importance of my role is knowing that God has been upgrade during this prophetic forum. And in order for him to do that, he always prepares the atmosphere and allows himself to have the head seat. So in doing that, we are excited in being able to bring worship to him. As him being the audience that we're going to give all of the worship to. And this worship is totally transformative. It's going to usher everyone into his presence. It's apostolic, prophetic worship. It's a kind of worship where we're talking to him, we're loving on him, we're creating an expectancy from him, we're bringing others into his presence. It's not always just the slow worship, it's the praise, it's the beats, everything he wants out of his throne room to hit this earth to change things is going to happen, and we're excited to be a part of that. We talk a lot in our worship about breaking camp, where we just get out of the norm, get out of the box, and just allow him to have everything that he wants. We emphasize a lot, give God what he wants, and be transformed in that worship while we're giving him what he wants. So we believe that in the prophetic forum, the atmosphere has to be set, because even as Prophet Ashley has talked about, when you get apostles and prophets together, a lot of things begin to happen, and we have to create that atmosphere of that mood, that place where God wants to be able to come and usher himself with all of the revelation that he wants to give us. So it's important as apostles, and I am an apostle, to be able to be equipped enough to be able to set that type of atmosphere for the audience that he's bringing into Tulsa next week. And just a little bit about AWE. AWE is an international worship training institute that's dedicated actually to equip all of God's next generation with apostolic voices of worship. And that's what we do. We specialize in raising up God's vessels of transformative worship and ushering in the presence of God. And we also, as our experience in worship, we go beyond the expressive acts of common worship, and we transform worshipers from voices crying out in a song to conduits of God's power, his anointing, and his glory. So as a worship embassy, we have a threefold purpose, and that is to manifest God's presence, release God's power, and transform God's people. So we really, really believe that God has brought this type of ministry, apostolic worship, into the realm of where we are now to get the sounds that he wants and get the business done that he wants apostolically. So I'm excited. I am so excited about next week, just like everybody else, Dr. Price. I'm looking and counting down days to get there, and excited about meeting all the people that he's going to bring in to prepare for worship.
Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you something. I appreciate it a lot. I hear, you know, when you travel, I travel a lot. I hear a lot of singers. And God, first of all, God's got some amazing people doing amazing things in the kingdom. And if I had one other prayer, I would say I'd like to meet them all. I love those sides of God. I love the music. I love the dance. I love the worship. I love drama. You know, I love it all, to be honest with you, because that's a part of Jesus that we tend to suppress. But yet, I mean, if we don't want to be tied into just sheer intellectualism and we want God. God has to, too. There's a reason why he did this. He has things that also comfort his soul and delight him. And so I really love it. I also am very particular because when it's off, my soul goes crazy. But that's another Thursday. What I like about this woman, and I watch it wherever I go, it is not your style. or the lack of style. It's not your voice or the lack of voice. My observation is, what does the kingdom of heaven do with you? How does it respond to you? I measure success not by people's natural anything, because that really is nice. That's great, you know? But if we're talking about making a place for the king to do business, to conduct business, to heal, to deliver, then there has to be a way that will cause his world to step out of the background into the foreground of what we're doing. And I love this woman, because no matter what, I've seen her in the hardest situations, and it never fails that as she rides through, by the time she gets to the end, Jesus comes for what she does. That literally blows my mind. You can prophesy for 9 hours. You can lay out full, the anointing of God. And when it clicks with apostles and prophets, the whole team just comes up a whole other level. So I'm just excited about it, because I love the sound. But, you know, I hear sounds all the time. What I don't see all the time is how heaven steps out of the background, out of anonymity, goes from being passive observers to active participants in what we're doing. And that is what I look forward to in any minister, in any ministry. What does heaven do when we get to the place that it's turn to act? And so I'm excited about you coming. Apostle Sal, I love our friendship. It means everything to me. I love it, but I'll tell you what I really love. I love the way God backs you up. And that, to me, is what apostolic worship is about. It's not just about the entertainment. It's about whether or not heaven can do something with your offering. And that is important. So I celebrate you today. I know that you paid a fiery price for what's happened and what you're doing. But I have to say, I honor you and cherish you as a friend. But I celebrate you today as a woman of the kingdom.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we're going to meet next week. Again.
Yes, ma'am. We will.
All righty. So then, God bless you. Thank you for joining me today. And listen, get geared up.
Oh, I am so geared up, and I'm going to stay that way. Amen.
All righty. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Whew. Wow. Ashley.
Yes. I love that woman. Love her ministry. She was our teacher back in the day when we were in school with you. Our praise and worship teacher, she was one of ours that we had for a semester. And I'm sure I still have my notes somewhere teaching us the different types and levels of worship. And so she's the real deal for sure.
She most assuredly is, and just as pure and loving as you can find. And I do encourage those of you all who are coming, you know, just really consider if that's a ministry gift that you want to bring into your church. When I travel, as much as possible, I like to take her with me, because we do have that. And when you're an apostle and you get that apostolic worship, oh, my gosh, it just takes, again, I have watched the angels file in the room and all of that, because God attests to what you're doing. And I'm going to say that because I don't know any other way to impress upon folks that how do I know the difference between what's anointed and what's not. There are all kinds of anointings in the body of Christ. And in order for any human to do anything in the planet, including commit a crime, you've got to have an anointing, because the invisible world is how we it energizes our world. But you have to know that not every anointing is going to move the same caliber of God's kingdom. And if, as we move up in our caliber, that anointing moves up, because the anointing has to do with our own, with the spiritual applications and exertions that take place on our behalf. And so many times people jump out ahead of God because you're anointed for training, and you're thinking that's anointing for reigning, that's anointing for performance, that's anointing for achieving. And you got to know the differences. It's important. Otherwise, you'll always have that short-lived ministry, or you'll have those on-again, off-again moments where, wow, that was really great when I was in New York. Now I'm in India. It's not doing anything. Why? Because you did not finish getting the rest or the fullness of what God wants to give. So this woman, I appreciate everybody that we have coming. You know, I enjoy Jonathan Ferguson, amazing young man, and I'm looking forward to him and his apostle. Fantastic woman, Dr. Terry Thompson. You know how much I'm enjoying him. And now I have You know, I'm in glory. I'm just in glory. I might show up next week, Ashley, or I might just go on to heaven and let y'all have at it.
Oh, ha, 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 ha. Very funny. I don't think so. There will be a revolt. And like Dorcas, like you just talked about, somebody's going to be called back to planet Earth.
And knowing you guys, you all won't call me back. One of the things that we haven't talked about, and for those of you who tune in with us on Tuesday evenings when we talk about assessments and divine order, God's way, properly handling the king's assets, when we talk about that, I have my prophets that I've trained. We've had Prophet Adia, Prophet Tala, and Prophet Ashley. These are the ones that finish the training. I have a lot of people who start out, but how many of you know out there that everybody who starts with you won't finish with you? And so these are the ones that finish and bore the fruit and bore replicatable fruit that of what we've trained. So they're also going to be doing seminars, and so they'll get a chance to meet you and meet the other prophets. Go on the go on my blog talk site and hit those Tuesday nights. For those, if you're a leader, oh my goodness, how to pick people. We're going to talk about in the future how to pick a winner and how to recognize a winner, because we don't always know how to do that in the church. And we're going to, these things are going to take you into a whole other dimension. But go on and listen to it. It's a wonderful discussion on just the assessments, but also why you want to be an assessor, okay, instead of just an appointer. So I'm excited about that. I got that out, Ashley. Do I have another caller?
You do, but see, I have something to get out first. And this is about...
you know I'm trying to rush past you. You know that, right?
No, you do. You do. This week, today, actually, since it's Thursday, every Thursday on Dr. Price's website, we have something that we've launched, that Dr. Price has launched, called In the Classroom with Dr. Price. Now, if you've been on this call, even if this is your first call, you understand Dr. Price has an amazing, not just anointing for prayer, but an actual savvy and strategy for prayer. And I've learned this from the beginning. Dr. Price, I remember when I first heard you pray, first couple of times, I was like, you know, I thought I knew how to pray, but I can't do that. Over the years, you taught us to pray. And this week's class that is going out, Prophet Adia is going to be sending out an email this afternoon for you to register for the class. There is a fee because it is an actual class, not just a conversation, but it is Praying Governmental Prayers Part 1. And what you're going to learn in this session are 9 descriptive points of governmental prayer with scriptural support, 5 major approaches to prayer, 21 types of prayer with scriptural support, 10 power tips for potent prayer, and more. This is all Dr. Price's teaching. She has taught this, and it is phenomenal. So if you are an apostle, a prophet, or a regular saint who wants to go to the next level in your prayers, can't understand why you can only go so far, and you can kind of feel it, and you keep hitting that prayer ceiling, or you can pray, but you just want to get more, go to her website in the classroom this afternoon, and you will be able to register. If you're on our emailing list, you'll be able to register from the email and pay that $35 to take the course. It's a little bit over an hour. It's like an hour and 3 or 4 minutes. So it is a full lecture about praying governmental prayers. It's part 1. Next month, you'll have part 2. But I promise you, your prayer life will never be the same after that.
Well, actually, that was worth giving you place, you know?
Thank
you. That was worth it. And that is a potent teaching. As a matter of fact, even though I taught it, I still appreciate it. If you have an intercessors group, if you have a training group, if you have, ministers that you're teaching to pray, excellent tool. If you even have just a prophetic school and you want prophets to get a handle on that, excellent tool. Now, I realize I want to talk to the saints about integrity, because I realize that this is online and you can have 500 people in the room, and that's fine. But understand that you want to make sure that you see to all of the kingdom's ministers getting their harvest. So if you're going to do it, then you need to charge them for whatever it is that it takes to enroll in the course. And I'm only asking you, this is a matter of your will, but, you know, God has a statement that says, if I can trust you with unrighteous mammon, then I can trust you with true riches. And sometimes we're waiting for the true riches of the kingdom when we've got all of those other little things that we do that we're often unaware of. We don't know it's an issue. But, you know, and we do this because this is my economy. You know, okay, Dr. Price, I can't really give you the seed I want, but, you know, I really want to bless you. Well, you have a whole training group, then use that. Charge your tuition so that you can go and give the laborer what they're worth in their heart. That is my only statement on that. I am ready to move on. Can I move on now? Actually, no, I have to almost say prophet, may I?
Yes, and your apostle Nona from Joliet, she also texted in saying the show is phenomenal today. So it is on fire. Your apostles are checking in from around the country. All right, next on the line, we have Prophet Tina from Indiana. And she has a question for her life about ministry direction. So Prophet Tina, welcome to the show. You are live with Dr. Price.
God bless you, Dr. Price.
God bless you, Prophet Tina. I'm glad to hear from you. How are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Well, you can hear I'm on fire today, so you pick a really good day to call.
Yes,
you
are.
I'm charged today. I'm almost like, can I do this 5 more hours? I am good to go.
Yes, you are. Truly are.
Okay, so how can I bless you today?
I need direction, Dr. Price, as far as ministry is concerned. I keep starting and stopping things in my life and never finish. And I think the only thing I finish is the book that God ordered me to write. I pastored for 9 years and I quit that. I just got tired and just a whole lot of things. I think my personal life was hitting my life so hard. And not having the proper overseer, I feel like the proper guidance in all of that, being divorced, losing 2 grandsons, and just the ministry was just falling apart. I just feel like I'm hitting repeated cycles, but they're not good cycles. And I see my children going through these same cycles. So it's like God is deals with me a lot in dreams, and I keep feeling him to tell me to come back to ministry, but I don't. My flesh doesn't want to because I keep feeling like I'm going to stop again, no matter
how I feel. Well, okay, we're going to walk this through, my beloved. Can we walk it through?
Yes.
All right, because, you know, one of the things, first of all, I love working with prophets and apostles. It thrills me. I love working with leaders. I don't care what they are. I love working with the leaders of the kingdom because I feel like, you know, if we can ever get some continuity in our leadership knowledge and wisdom, we can probably take this thing back. So the first thing I want to ask you is, have you ever taken my assessment?
No.
Okay, so when you hang up, the first thing I'm going to tell you to do is take my assessment. You go to drpaulaprice.com, click take an assessment. I want you to take that because you need it. Because the reasons that you're doing this and experiencing this, some of those are going to surface in your responses to this assessment. And it's going to give you that ministerial information and backdrop that goes with the backstory on your life. So I want you to take that. That's extremely important. But I'm going to ask you probably a very hard question, and I want you to see if you can answer me very succinctly, you know, because I know that there's so much going on. You feel you're bubbling right now, but I want to see if you can just narrow your answer down and answer me succinctly. Why are you a prophet?
I just feel like that's what God has called me to do.
But why?
Because of the things that I see, the dreams that I dream, and hearing his voice.
Okay, that's great, because you realize a lot of the body of Christ can say that. So now I want to ask you, if you say that that is why you're a prophet, I want to ask you 2 questions. A, have you had training to make this thing work for you on demand? And B, how is the Lord and his church better for having you as a prophet?
How am I well? I didn't hear that last part you said.
How is the Lord and the church better for having you as a prophet?
Oh, I did some, the online school of the prophets. I did one of Jonathan Perkins's online schools as well. I've been through the ministries that I sat under, the people I've sat under. I did the school of the prophets with those as well. I feel like I'm beneficial to the body of Christ as being a blessing to them because of the warnings God gave me for certain people and also the blessings that he gave me to certain people. And it has blessed a lot of people over the years as I have walked in the call.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you're not in the call now because you're mad.
Yes, I am.
Right. I know. You're mad. You're mad in the call. Now, listen, I'm an apostle. I'm going to talk to you as I would a prophet because you are well able to hear it. The couple of things you need to do, I do need you to take that assessment. Have you read my books, the Prophet's Dictionary or the Prophet's Handbook?
I have the Prophet's Dictionary, but I haven't finished it yet.
Okay, well, that's good. Work with that. I want you to go to the store or when you get a chance, or if you have Kindle, go online. I need you to get that handbook because in that handbook, I have a chapter called Shaping the Prophet for the Master's Use, and that's where you are. And because you didn't understand that, you didn't realize what you were going through. Your hardships and all of the things you suffer, first of all, I want to go on record to say to the entire universal body of Christ alive today and will be living tomorrow. I want to go on record to say, just because you serve God doesn't mean hardships don't happen. Because if that's the case, then the people who are outside of Christ should have easy street lives, and they don't. And the people who work in other entities and other fields ought to have no difficulty. So that's the first thing we need to get out of our head. Just because you have life, just because life happens doesn't mean you're not called. Life is going to happen whether you have a job or not. The unemployed and the employed both have catastrophes. That's the way it is because the Bible said, woe to the earth, for offenses must come. So since they must come, woe to the earth, the offenses must come, we need to be very clear on the fact that serving Jesus is not an insulation against life's normal happenings. You know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So I need to shift your mindset because I don't know where it came from, but that's part of where you're stuck because you can't serve God as a payoff. It cannot be a hedge against calamities in life. We serve God because we were called before the foundation of the world. While we were yet in Jesus' soul, we were called and appointed a prophet, an apostle, or whatever it is that he called us to do. Right on down to the CEOs, the military people, the presidents, and on we go. Because God did that before the foundation of the world. Having said that, I just want you to understand, you have to shift. God wants you to shift your mind on what it means to serve him. And he wants you to shift your emotions on what it takes to do it well. Because those are the two things that the enemy is using against you. You have what we call cyclical trip-ups. You start rolling along, as you just said, but you will go, and things that have always tripped you up in life that you never handled will start tripping you up in ministry, and you think it's about ministry. It is not. These are issues, my beloved, you always had. You had them at 13, you had them at 16, you had them at 17, you had them at 21, you had it at 23, you had it at 27, 35.
Yes.
So these are not related to ministry. They're related to you not wanting to bring your other side up to the same standard and demand that you brought your ministerial self up to. That's called emotional maturity. And your emotional intelligence is off because what you think it takes to be successful is not what it takes. And you have vows. There are dreams. You were because you are a prophet, you had a lot of visions as a kid and a lot of vows that you turned into hopes, that turned into aspirations, that turned into pursuits, that turned into fantasies. Now we have to back you up because they're not happening the way you thought. You are such a visionary, and I say this to your credit, even though sometimes it becomes frustrating. You are such a visionary that when you do something, you get a vision in your mind about what it's going to look like, how it's going to turn out, and what it's going to feel like. And the minute it doesn't happen, you are frustrated.
Yes.
And that's what God wants you to do. So we want to, you know, I pray that we can work with you. I pray to be able to work with you because you're good prophet material. You're quality prophet material. It's really everybody I had on the call today. But you're quality prophet material. I pray to work with you because I want to go in and deal with that little girl spirit that keeps chipping away at your womanhood. You were sorely disappointed as a kid, and you've been trying to make it up to yourself since then. And so I want to deal with that because that's what keeps trying to rob you in your life. So I'm going to pray that off of you. I'm going to pray into it because it's going to take you a little bit to get free. But I want to, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, because you're a prophet, I can ask him this. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to go back in your childhood, and I'm going to ask him to take you to that day that your little heart was broken over something that you dreamed and worked very hard at and pushed very hard at that didn't happen. And the Holy Spirit is going to take you back in time, and he's going to go back into his archives and show you what happened, because it's that we have to address. Is that fair enough with you?
Yeah.
We're going to go back to that because you are a one brokenhearted little girl that has not been able to get free from that disappointment. And you also are one of those people, your parents raised you to be achiever. They raised you to try things. I don't know who they were, what they did. I could dig into it, but I'm not wasting my time on that. But they trained you to go after a lot, to do a lot, but they never trained your emotions for what it takes to stay successful. And it's your emotional development that we want to work on in the kingdom. The soul life, as God calls it. We want to deal with your soul life because it's your soul life that has not caught up with your achievements, with your academics, with your intelligence, with your experiences. And so when you want to come to the end of those tangible things, those physical things, that other thing, yeah, but what happens? I mean, that thing is like a machine in you. Yeah, but what happens? Oh, what are you thinking about by that? Yeah, that's why they didn't call. Well, you're not going to make it. And you start, boy, that thought talk starts taking you over, and it talks you right out of purpose, talks you right out of destiny.
Yes.
If you would work with us. I want you to take that assessment, and when you take it, I'm going to have Chief Prophet Tyler be your advisor, and you are going to listen because she's very good in this dimension. You have to deal with the fact that you were so disappointed. That thing broke your heart, and nobody recognized you were heartbroken, and they did not come in and fix that. So you put yourself together as best you could, and your soul joints are displaced and misplaced. So that you can't, so any kind of disappointment, you can't handle it. It will send you in a tizzy. But can we say, but Jesus? I want you
but
to know
me.
The Lord Jesus Christ put you on the call today because this is your time of deliverance. This is your time of healing. And I'm telling you, our God is so faithful. He's going to do what I just said, take you all the way back, and he's going to, piece by piece, put you together again. And I'm excited because let me tell you, disappointments are a part of life, but somebody told you that they were a stop sign, and disappointments are not a stop sign. Disappointments have two effects. They will stop those who weren't called or who are not equipped, but they will motivate the best through the press. And I'm going to teach you how to go through the press and become the best because disappointments are not a stop sign.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I already love you. We haven't even met. I already love you, sweetheart. So we're going to get you through this. Fair enough? I'm going to pray right now because you are worth this. You are worth God to do this for you today. It's worth it to the King. Father, I thank you for her. I thank you for Tina with all my heart. I thank you for her life. I thank you that she's a fighter. She's a warrior. But now, God, I'm asking you to finish the work that you began in her all those years ago. Lord, put her back on the map. Put her back in service. But, God, don't do it a day before you've dealt with this brokenness of her soul. God, God, deliver her soul. Bring her back into wholeness and oneness by your Holy Spirit and make her new. God, let that new creation man rise up and do its job in her soul and correct her and get her back into your place. God, I thank you for putting her with the right mentor, right teachers, everything that's going to destroy your work in her, God, remove it out of her life, everything that's going to fortify it. God, bind it to her from this day forward in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen. Bless you, my beloved.
Thank you. That's right.
You're very welcome. Do what I say now, okay?
Yes.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Prophet Ashley.
See, this is why we do. This is why we, this is why you do the Paula Price Show. Touching my just like that. I'm telling you, you just, I mean, only God knows where people really are.
Yeah.
And he knows why they are, where they are, and where they are. So that's extraordinarily touching. I was like, deliverance. I love it. I love it when you see the moment happening. And then even like Jennifer, who you talked to earlier, and then a year later, they're a totally different person.
Yes. Yes.
It's amazing.
You know what's so...
And I want to take this moment just to say as well to all of our listeners and supporters out there, if God is speaking to you about sowing into Dr. Price's life, go to her website, drpaulaprice.com. You just scroll down. There's a button that says to sow a seed to support Dr. Paula Price. She does this every week because she wants to. Now, she's not going to say this. I am. That's because, you know, this is what I do, and I'm for God, and I'm going to do it. And so take that moment to sow into her life, to lay that gift at her feet, because this is just amazing. I mean, I feel like I need to give an offering every Thursday when I hear this.
Bless your heart, you know, and I tell you the truth. One of the things that I really love, first of all, I thank you all who will sow a seed. I thank you and release the harvest on you, because truly, you know, we talk about seeds, and I don't talk about money like this because that's not why I started this program, and it's not going to be the thing. You know, those of you who know God, know the worth of what we're doing, you're going to do the right thing, and you're going to do it because God's going to raise you up to make that happen. But I will tell you what I will say, and that is when I read my Bible, all those people who came to prophets and apostles came to make an exchange. It's not about the seed, whether or not, you know, I'm charging. It's about whether or not you're exchanging materially for what heaven is delivering to you spiritually. Because my words are going to work. I can't put a price on this because I don't know what kind of abundance you're going to get. I really don't know. I don't know. I could say it's this, and then God could go and give you a $40 million for this or that. So I don't know. But what I want you to realize is that it's just a kingdom principle, and it really does solidify and determine the harvest, you know, because when you put something in, you get more out. So that's what I wanted to say. But when I was talking with Tina, Ash, can I tell you, I just so love that woman, and she is such a blessing. But she's one of those hundreds and thousands of souls that people would look at and they would judge one way because of the seeing of the eye.
Yes.
But God, that's his daughter, and he was with her on that day. He was with her that day that her heart got broken, and it was so torn up. He was there, and he wanted to, but she was too young, and there was no one in her sphere of life to help her reset that thing and to look at it in perspective and to bring her past it. And I know that because I've raised my daughters, and I know that there are days that if I hadn't been there to pick them up and really understand, however trivial it looked, because to a kid, things are large, huge. But if I hadn't been there, no matter how trivial it looked, to pick them up and to make that break an important thing and to treat it, because we easily treat people's physical wounds. If she had broken her arm, broken her leg, or had any other physical injury or ailment, boy, they'd have been right on it, because that's what parents do. But when your child is emotionally broken, you cannot just act like it's, oh, well, that's just kids, but it's not important, because sometimes that break, if it doesn't get corrected in that soul, ends up sabotaging their life way into adulthood. And so I'm glad that God gave me an opportunity to do this. I love doing this on Thursdays. It thrills my soul. I start on Wednesday getting excited, don't I, Ashley? I get excited.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She gets wound up. She gets really wound up. That's true.
I do. I'm sorry. Hey, Ashley, tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Listen, if somebody wants to schedule me, everybody who knows me now, don't mess with my Thursday. Thursday belongs to my king and his people. I love it. And I love when I hear your calls. I wish that I could take everyone, but I do know that as I share, different ones have let us know they reach into that basket, they'll reach into that prophecy or reach into that prayer or message and get what's there for themselves. But I want you to know this is a labor of not only love but enthusiasm, because every time I see God change a life, I get excited because I know what it is to have nobody there that's got your back and nobody there who wants to pray with you, or people who are praying don't have a clue about what you're going through. I love this, and I want everybody here to listen to me and know it. I need you to win because you're the king's treasures, and kings have the best, not the less. So it's important to me that you win, and it's important to me to pray with you. And it's also important that you share this with friends who couldn't get on at 11 o'clock and, you know, at Tulsa time. Share it with your friends, because truly, even if I don't talk to you personally, I feel each and every one of you. Sometimes I get your name weeks in advance. Sometimes I get it nights in advance. It always blows my mind how Ashley puts those names up when they call in or you all call in on that day. So don't think that just because I don't get to you that I don't get to you, because I do. And I don't know how, but my somehow or another, God has so enlarged me and so expanded me that I get it. And you are important to me. I don't do this because I'm getting something. As you know, this is Blog Talk. I'm not on a national television show, radio show, anything. I'm here. I like Blog Talk. I think it's done great by me. So, hey, bless the Blog Talk people. But understand, you are precious to God, and that makes you precious to me. I don't care if I don't meet you, but I look forward to the day that I can. So keep calling, keep listening, and pass it on to your friends, because your success is truly my success. Because I'm as successful as each one of you are because of my handprint or my touch or voice in your life. Had to get that out, Ashley, because, you know, I just feel them. I love them. They're all in my heart and soul. So I just want to thank God for each and every person on the call. Now, I think, though, if I'm not mistaken, I got time for one more.
You sure do. And I just have to give you 2 points of comments that have rolled in on your Facebook. Cheryl, our Cheryl here at Tulsa, she said, empowering word, life-changing. And then you have a friend on Facebook called Scribal Commanders. They said, once again, Dr. Price is on the mark. Ouch. I just felt a boomerang from one of her responses.
Bless the Lord. I love that. And actually, I love that you're reading that to me now. You know, that encourages me. So, you know, I get real charged up again. Now, you know, got me fired up again. And you know what I like about this? I can be myself. I'm not scripted. I'm not trying to be anybody but me. I am excited. I am Paul Price. This is my show. I am in my glory, having a blast with the people of God. So, hey, thank you, everybody who's writing.
I said, praise him.
I know. And so all of you guys continue to write me. I like that. And it's encouraging, too, to know all of the people that I can't touch with my voice or my hand who are still being touched by God's wisdom, because the Lord Jesus Christ so wants you all to feel his love and to be a part of his solutions. And he says to tell you, and I want to work with you. I want to partner with you, but I want you to work with me. And if I had to give a closing thought on this before I take my call, God said, I want to work with you. So he has me out here to teach you how to work with him. And that's
Amen.
Precious. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You ready, Prophet? Come on, give me my last call.
All right. You have about 10 minutes with this one, Dr. Price, but this is LaSonya from Georgia. Now, we are sympathetic to her prayer request. She just moved to a new state. She needs direction for the right church. She needs employment. It's the whole basket is what she needs. So, LaSonya, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, hello, LaSonya. Obviously, I could ask how you're doing, but I'm going to play your depression off you first. How's that?
Thank you.
You did not make a mistake. Can I tell you that?
Yeah.
You did not make a mistake. I know it seems like it because the you know, you're in unfamiliar territory. Your spirit is not out there in that airway, in that space yet. You probably haven't even made the connections with the spiritual connections you need to cover you. That's going to end because we're going to put you in the church. But I want you to understand, you did not make a mistake. God says to tell you, I've got great things in store for you here. Here is where your harvest is. You sowed elsewhere, but here in this land that you're in right now, your harvest is there, and you needed somebody to tell you so I can raise your faith up to expect your harvest. Good things are going to happen to you in that land. I mean, you are going to, baby, you're going to call me in 6 months and say, boy, I mean, I cannot believe how rich it is for me in this land. That is good land for you. And I know that this is something that I speak by the Spirit, but your family's roots in that land go all the way back. You got real genetic roots in that land. And there are harvests, there's harvests that's due you that they did not get. So God said to tell you, you got family roots and a family inheritance in that land. You are going to do fine. So this is a smokescreen. That devil is trying to punk you out. I'm telling you, you are in the right place, and you're going to do well in that land.
Thank you.
Isn't that good to know?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, I'm going to let you get your last cry. You're going to cry today. You will cry no more. Because God says to tell you, buck up and be encouraged. The very word that he gave you is what's going to happen. The very spirit that he sent you in is the spirit that's getting ready to attend to you. And those spirits, God already sent angels. Those angels that travel with you, they already are out doing their job. You get excited because these guys are winning. They have some things, setting up things. Your thing was just timing, nothing but timing. And so you're coming up on that breakthrough moment, and God is going to be good for you, beautiful. You're going to do well, I promise you. And God says to tell you, you're going to sing a whole new song to him by the time he's done. No, he said, you're going to sing a whole new song because you got a songbird voice. So God's going to take care of you. So here's what we're going to do. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this woman, this child of yours, this messenger of your truth, this psalmist. I thank you for this woman in Jesus' name. Now, God, I speak to the resources out there in her land. I speak to the powers that be, and I say, give place. I speak to the angels of employment, and I put you on assignment. Go and bring this woman her job, not offer, but job. Let it be the pay that she needs to more than meet her needs and to be able to sow into the kingdom. Now, God, I thank you. I call to the ecclesial ministers out there in the name of Jesus Christ, and I say to you, connect with this woman and bring her into the house of worship and that she is assigned to in Jesus' name. Let it not be a trial and error thing. Let her not go through the wrong to get to the true. I put you in that church, and I thank you, God. I thank you that the angels of the churches will come and get you, put you where you belong. And, God, I thank you that she gets friends, good, godly friends in that land that will receive her, understand her, and that connect with her for her purpose and the reason for being there. And we bless you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah,
so
don't
much.
You feel you feel good and blessed up too, don't you, girl?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay, so now, listen, I want to give you some specific counsel because, see, prayers are good, but you still need some strategy. We need to know how to walk this out. So you do want to go and take your resume back to two places that you took it, and then God said to go online and put it out online.
Okay, okay.
That's the first. All right, the second thing is there's some sort of, I want to get this right. There's a, help me God, there's like a volunteer center, some sort of church center, community center. You need to go there so that you can connect with the people who are going to get you into church.
Okay. Okay.
All right? Because prayer is great, but if we give you prayer and you just sit home, glory to Jesus, that's not going to help. We got to take prayer from speaking to the heavens to guiding on earth. So I've just talked to the heavens. Now we're going to guide you on earth, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bless you, my beloved. Hey, now you have to call me back and tell me how wonderful this is because I just opened up a whole lot of wealth for you.
Thank you. I definitely
okay.
will. Definitely.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. See, Ashley, I didn't even take the whole 10 minutes. Aren't you impressed?
I know. What was that all about?
Hey, because God was, well, she actually called a few days before her breakthrough was coming.
Amen.
So, you know, God just wanted to give her the final instructions. Okay, I'm getting ready to do this. This is how I'm going to carry this out. You know, the thing that I love about the anointing that God really wants to give, you know, because when you're in an office and you sit as God's official, then this is not about some, okay, let's do the hum-hum, whatever. This is about, this is what the king has delegated. These are the things that he's issued on your behalf, and I'm seeing that because I got the work order, and I'm going to pray the work order and then give you the counsel and instructions. You see how that works out?
And what a flow. And to be connected with someone like you, who can actually map out, this is what God is doing.
We have to start becoming more pragmatic and practical in our prayers and intercession. You know, speaking to the heavens is fine, but you realize that the folk in the heaven already got a work order. They're already busy. They're waiting for us to open up the conduits and open up these people's hearts and minds and souls and faith for them to step in with the right solution. You know, because until then, they're waiting for us because they're not going to stab in the dark. But the people are stabbing in the dark. They're not connecting with the king's resources and his providences in their situation. And I absolutely love this because, you know, I realize that a lot of times we pray as if Jesus is not hearing and that he is not engaged in running his kingdom. I pray because I know that he is. I've been to his desk. I've seen him at his desk. I know that he is. And I know based on that, that I can speak into what he's sending us to handle in his name. And so that's part of what I wanted to say. We're running out of time, though, aren't we, Ashley?
We are. We have a few more minutes.
Well, good. Talk about our forum.
Well, next week is the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. And what we are working out is actually to have only just 1 hour of live broadcast from the event. It's going to be powerful. You know us, we're going to set it up and make something happen so all of you out there can still be connected and at least get a breath of a snippet of what is going on and what God is doing. Next week, Thursday through Saturday is the event. We start on Wednesday evening with an orientation. So if you are coming to the event, whether you are in Tulsa or flying in or driving in from out of the city, then you need to prepare and allow your schedule to be at that orientation. It's going to prepare you for how to be ready for what's about to happen to your life because it will not be the same. Like Dr. Price said, this is not a conference. This is a forum. So your active mental and engagement is expected in this event. You will have to participate. You may be able to answer some questions, asking some things, thought-provoking. It is not the same. Prophet Adia Peterson, Prophet Tala Price are going to be there to walk you through this event and prepare you, have some prayer to get you ready, to get you focused, to shift from your life that you left to come to this event. We do like to treat the whole person. Dr. Price has her 3T model, teach, talk, and touch the people. And you're going to see that in action at the Tulsa Prophetic Forum next week. We're not just going to teach at you. We're not just going to talk at you or just sling some oil and preempt everything and just say, wow, God was really deep, but you still didn't come what you got. You still didn't get what you came for. We're going to have all of it. The Lord is going to move. The Holy Spirit is going to flow. We will have powerful teaching, amazing worship, breaks, and all kinds of things for you to get the most out of this. Dr. Price strongly believes that on a very, like she said, very pragmatic level, you need to get what you paid for. And you paid, you are paying and paid to get education, to have your lives changed, to get answers. And that is what you will receive when you come here, but you also need to be prepared to participate to facilitate that. We are excited. The hotel is excited. Staff is excited about our event. I think they're just as excited as we are, which is so great because we will have an amazing time. They're like, we're just so excited about next week. I'm like, well, that's wonderful. Wonderful. They're accommodating us to the fullest. We expect everyone to be on their best behavior, so we are invited back to the facility and to be a blessing to the staff and the people walking by. You never know who's looking. You never know who's looking for a sign to see that this is the real deal. So I'm thrilled that next week is coming. I'm also like, I wish I had another week to pull some things together, but I don't. So I just dismissed that wish because it's never going to happen. But we are really fired up here in Tulsa, and we look forward to welcoming you to our city.
Absolutely. And again, I'm going to reiterate my prayer with the few moments that I have left. Reach out one more time to see if God made it happen for you, because those that he wants to touch, he certainly is going to make it happen. Reach out to friends and family and ministers and whatever to see what God is doing. But if you feel that God is telling you to do it, prove that by making it happen. The king's kids make it happen. One of the things that I teach people is that, hey, there is always a way. If it is the will of God, the way is made. But because we're his, if it is what we know we need from him, we press in. So that's you. Hey, don't waste these next few days wishing it can be. Work at it. See what the Lord has done. I release his providences on you. I release open doors, open hearts, open purses for you and opportunities. We settle the airplanes. We settle the airplane fares in Jesus' name, in your favor, so this can happen. I thank you for joining us this week. We're wrapping up another show, and I'm thankful for all of you who called. Again, we're going to talk with you a little bit next Thursday, so be on the line because it's going to be great. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us on The Paula Price Show. If you would like to attend one of Dr. Price's upcoming events, book her for your own event, purchase products, or take a ministry assessment, visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com or by phone at 877-419-1299. If you like what you heard today, become a Paula Price Show supporter for just $15 per month. That number again is 877-419-1299 or visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com.